My Savior, God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yes. God is good. All the time, God is good. And God, look, y'all get ready to worship some. Y'all hear me? We get ready to have some fun. First, let me tell you this. Let me get over here. We're going back to our 12 steps, okay? We took a couple weeks out because of Don, but now we're back. We're going to do some 12 steps, and after we do the 12 steps, We're gonna have some good old fashioned, just good old fashioned preaching, okay? So I do want to tell you, a tour guide was showing a tourist around Washington D.C. The guide pointed out that the place where George Washington supposedly threw a dollar across the Potomac River. Y'all remember that? That's impossible, said the tourist. No one can throw a coin that far. And the guide said, "You got to remember, a dollar went farther." A lot farther in those days. Ah, my God's good. All right. Next week, we will be starting step one, maybe one, two, and three next week. And we're not going to do like 12 weeks. We're going to do sessions of maybe three to four, maybe more, but like two, three, four sermons, and we're going to accumulate some of these things. And this isn't just stuff that I teach in the heroin unit, but this is stuff that everybody within the sound of my voice, including myself, needs to stay in touch with, because the 12-step program is not just for those that are addicted. The 12-step program is for everybody, because we all need to be refreshed and we all need to have God's power and God's anointing on us. So get your Bible out. Turn to Psalms 139. Stand for the reading of the word. Psalm 139. God is so good. Yeah. Psalm 139. Just one verse. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Let's stretch forth the hands this way. Ask God for a special touch and anointing. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for your ever-abiding, undivided word of God. Touch us right now, Lord, and those, Lord, that are here, bless them, and those that have a desire to be here but can't, bless those, and those that have lost the desire or come up with more excuses than you ever could imagine, bless them too, Father, because, Lord, I promise you, Lord, I know, God, that you got something for us very special, and you want us all to be participants in what you got. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated if you can. Tell somebody, the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Now, this is supposed to be back to church Sunday. Well, I'll just leave it at that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, there's going to come a Sunday soon where this church is going to be packed. It's going to be so packed that they're going to be rushing the doors to get in. And that Sunday is going to be the Sunday after the rapture. Amen? It's coming, and it's coming quick. So I'd rather avoid the rapture rush and come on to church now. Oh, isn't that cool? The rapture rush. Amen. All right. Recovery, 12 steps to find peace. Now, I've just done a few in from the first few weeks because especially since we haven't been doing this in quite a while because of Don's death. How many know that you can find beauty in your brokenness? Matter of fact, God can work more with a broken vessel than he can with a perfect vessel. God can do a whole lot more because usually perfect vessels are scared to get hurt. They're scared to get dirty. They're scared to get down in the mud. Perfect vessels want to stay polished and cleaned up. But a broken vessel has been there, done that. And God wants to use them because they're not afraid to get into it, to find what God's got for them. So recovery, there's beauty beneath the brokenness. Recovery is not just about healing what's broken. Listen carefully. But it's about rediscovering what was never lost. Whoa. I got to say it again. It's about rediscovering. That's why it's got to be for the whole church. It's rediscovering what was never lost. And that what was never lost was your God-given worth. God's got a special tag on you, a price tag that the world does not see. The world may have discounted you. You may have even discounted yourself. But God has never discounted you. He's always got his hands on you, and he knows what he's got for you. Amen? So, beauty beneath the brokenness, Psalm 139 and 14 reminds us that we're wonderfully complex, we're marvelously made, and deeply known by God. Listen carefully. Even when you feel shattered, God sees the masterpiece beneath that mess. Wow. Aren't you glad that God saw you and you were all broke up and you were a big old mess? And God said, I'm going to use that mess. I'm going to make an awesome message out of that. So this is the heart of recovery. Embracing God's design for us can lead to restoration, renewal, and hope. So I'm almost getting ready to jump into the last one. So let me move kind of quickly. And there's just a few slides, then we're going right straight in. Point number one, you're not a mistake. Just in the last couple of weeks, especially since I've been preaching this message, I can't tell you how many times I heard, this is our little mistake. People talking about their kids. This is our little mistake. This is our little surprise. This is our little got you. I can't count on both hands as many times as I've heard that lately. Quit telling your kids they're a mistake. Quit telling your kids they're a gotcha. Quit telling your kids they're a surprise, because they don't need to hear that. What they need to hear is, I love you, and I thank God because you're a wonderful gift from God. Amen? God's awesome. So, the psalmist didn't say, you used to be marvelous. He says, your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. God has got something special for you. So, recovery begins when we stop believing the lie that our pain defines us. Tomorrow, I'll be going in the heroin unit. I promise you, I have problems right to begin with the new guys getting in there, because they feel like they're locked in to an identity that their pain or their addiction has caused. And they stay locked in that. And when we go to the detention center, we talk to people all the time, and they feel locked in to whatever's got them locked up for. Amen? Your addiction, your trauma, your depression, these are just chapters in your story. They are not your identity. So, finishing up point one, you're not a mistake. Listen carefully. You're not a mistake. Craftsmanship didn't disappear when you fell. It's still there, waiting to be reclaimed. So I want y'all to say this with me. Ready? Say this with me. Here it goes. I am not my past. I am God's workmanship. Say that with me. I am not my past. I am God's workmanship. Amen? So, point number two. You ready? Complexity is not a curse. It's a calling. All of us are wonderfully complex. You're layered. You're intricate. You're unique. And something about recovery, whether it be from a recovery from a substance, or whether it's recovery from an attitude, or whether it's a recovery from the past, recovery often feels messy, greasy. It feels dirty. It feels nasty. And a lot of times that's why people bury things, because they don't want to bring it back up, because they don't want to get their hands back in that mess again. But they don't realize that God wants to pull them out of that, so they don't have to keep hiding it, but instead, God can use them. And remember, healing isn't linear. You go from step one, step two, step three, step four. You may go from step one to step four, back to step two, back to step seven. You may go up a little while, fall a little bit. Go up a little while, fall a little bit. It's okay. Complexity is always part of the beauty. One more, and then we're getting in there. Ready? God doesn't shy away from your tangle. Look, I try to talk to people sometimes and say, you don't want to hear what I got to say. They say, man, you don't want to hear my story because, number one, you're going to be ashamed of me. Number two, you're going to help me be ashamed even more of myself. You cannot answer the questions, and there's so many things that's just setting me back. And I tell them all the time, watch this, try me. Just try me. Just talk. And I tell them, you're safe. I always start out with, you're safe here. It's not going anywhere else. You're safe, and you tell me your story, and we'll let God decide on what's good and what's bad, and we'll let God decide on these tangled emotions. You see, He's the one that designs you with that depth, and He is not intimidated by your junk. Amen? Not intimidated. So, don't rush your healing. Embrace the process, because God is working in every layer. So here's our new one. Ready? Number three. Recovery. I love this. The enemy likes to tell you who you aren't, and always in the negative. God delights in telling you who you are, and you're always in the positive. Wow. How many in just the last few weeks have heard the enemy try to talk junk to you? Tell you how bad you are. Or if you were a Christian, if you were really a church member, if you're really a child of God, just remember this in the wilderness. The devil said, Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, then turn this the stone into bread. If thou be the Son of God, fall down and worship me. If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself off this pinnacle and watch the angels catch you. If, whenever you hear a statement in your mind or by somebody else telling you, if you were a child of God, if you were as good as you said you were, if you love God like you said, remember, that's coming from the enemy. Always, if you hear the if statements, know where it's coming from. It's coming from the enemy. And don't fall prey to it. Amen? So, number three, these artificial flowers just keep getting me. See, this is really an artificial cough from artificial flowers. If this had been a real cough, it would have sounded different. All right. I got something to drink, and I got candy up here. But an artificial cough is hard to get rid of. All right. We got to stop on this one and camp a while. We've camped on every one. This one especially. Recovery is remembering who you are. The psalmist talks about how wonderfully and fearfully you're made and how well you know it. The problem is, we may have known it, but we forgot it. We've listened to the if statements. If. Until we believe that we're not. You got to get rid of those if statements. How many people have forgotten just who they are in God? Now remember, recovery is not just for the alcoholic. Recovery is just not for the drug addict. Recovery is for every person on this earth, especially the child of God, because they forget who they are, and recovery process brings back who they are and what they're doing here. So watch this. Recovery is not just physical or emotional. It's spiritual. Today, remember that you're loved, you were chosen, and you were seen. Wow. Y'all say this with me. I am loved. I am chosen. I am seen. One more time, because y'all sound new. It's like you meant it. Ready? I am loved. I am chosen. And I am seen. Amen? When shame whispers that you've gone too far, 139 shouts, you are marvelous. Wow. You're marvelous, darling. You're marvelous, darling. Because God's got you. So the encouragement is, let God remind you of your worth daily. Speak life over yourself. There's one thing I always did with my family when they were coming up. And that was, I don't ever remember a day that I did not hug my children and tell them I loved them. Don't remember a day. Unless they were gone, staying with grandma or going to a camp, I don't ever remember a day that I did not hug them. Even if we weren't getting along good, I don't remember that I didn't hug them and tell them I loved them. And I don't remember a day that I didn't speak life into them. That's so powerful. Now, I hope if you got a family, you're doing the same thing, but I'm going to give you a bigger challenge. From here on out, don't let a day go by that you don't get a hug from God. And don't let a day go by that you don't speak life into your own spirit. Do you know, and this is not conceited, God is your biggest cheerleader. Who do you think number two is? I know you can say mom. No, not mom. Number two is yourself. Your self-talk determines how that day is going to be. Amen? So, get ready. So, remind yourself every day, get a hug from God, and speak life into your situation. So now, recovery is more, again, here goes, point, here it is. Recovery is remembering who you are. So, remember this. God doesn't just forgive you. That'd be nice, just know I'm forgiven. There's people I know, people I see, that can't even grasp the part that God can't forgive them. And the reason is they can't forgive themselves. God doesn't just forgive you, He restores you and He reaffirms your calling. It's something special that God does for us. Peter, after he had denied Jesus three times, he's out fishing. Him and the guys are out fishing. And Jesus comes up on the shore, and Jesus starts talking, and remember, he had denied Jesus three times. So Jesus lovingly restored him. He asked him three times, "Do you love me?" He didn't beat him up. Jesus denied him three times. Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. Look at how that works out. Wow. Some of y'all in here You need to stop, let God minister to you, and you quit resisting it because you don't think you earned it. Because I promise you, you did not earn it. God loves you. Peter, I can't think of any worse things than Peter denying Jesus other than than Judas selling him out. And God restored him. So remember, here's the message. Your failure does not define you. Jesus restores. He reaffirms your identity. And he reaffirms your purpose. So recovery is not just healing. Think of it as a recommission. You know, when a vessel has gone to battle and it's been beat up so bad in battle that it can no longer go out to sea, they bring it back in, but they can still restore it. They restore it. And what they do with that ship or that plane, once they fix it so it can go back into battle, they recommission it. Sometimes we've gone into battle and we're hurting, we're limping, our mind's messed up, our spirit is hurting, our spirit is cracked. And God, if you just set aside and accept what God's got for you, he's not going to restore you, but he's going to recommission you and he's going to put you back out into battle. So that's just, I don't know, this one here just really stuck out to me. I love this. Look. That ain't a cute little sheep, is it? That ain't cute. That sheep's been beat up. That sheep's in rough. Well, look at it. That sheep's rough. Jesus leaving the 99 for the one seems pretty crazy until you're that one. Wow. When Jesus found that, when Jesus left the 99 to get the one, he didn't find me little bitty sheep up there looking nice and pretty going, meh. He found me running, and he's running after him. See that? He's running after that sheep before the wolf destroys him anymore. Hagar. Hagar's such a special, special person. You see, we see a servant cast out and abandoned, and God finds her. Let's just talk a little about her story. Here's Hagar. She's an Egyptian. And she winds up being Sarah's slave. Sarah knows God's already said you're going to have babies. You're going to have children. You're going to be the father and mother of a great nation. But she's barren. So she decides to help out God. Don't you always really mess up when you decide to help out God? So Sarah gives Hagar to Abraham. Not a good idea. Hagar, who's already been uprooted, who's already been displaced, now she's been exploited. Oh, by godly people, but are still exploited. There's a lot of people in this world, especially now, that get exploited. There's human trafficking. There's the drug addict and the pimp. They're out exploiting people. But not only is the drug addict and the pimp exploiting people, sometimes your own friends exploit you. Sometimes people that you would never think would exploit you. So here's Ishmael. Hagar. She's minding her own business. She's a slave. She's doing her work. Her mistress says she ought to go ahead and get married to Abraham so he can have a baby by her. Didn't work out too good. Because not only is now she's exploited. Now, even though she's right there, she feels cast out. Only doing what she was told to do. Now she feels cast out. Sarah is so mad at her. And so she decides to just run away. And God says, no, go on back. It's going to be okay. I'm going to raise up a great nation. So she goes back and she has Ishmael. So now you got Hagar and Ishmael, and now Sarah has Isaac. Now it really gets bad. So when they were weaning Isaac, Ishmael's about 17. He's making fun of Isaac. Matter of fact, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it said he was terrorizing Isaac. When God saved Hagar, he said, I'm going to raise up a seed in you, and he's going to terrorize everybody. That started something that we're dealing with today. All because somebody tried to help out God. But watch. Here's this woman, exploited, cast out. Think about all the unwed mothers around here that feel cast out. And all the people around here that feel cast out and nobody knows them, nobody sees them. Sarah tells Abraham to get rid of Ishmael, his first son. Get rid of him. Get rid of his mama. Get rid of them all. So he gives them food, gives them water, and says, you got to go. Just about time all the stuff starts wearing out, wearing through, she thinks she's forgotten by God. And God finds her in the wilderness, and he calls her by name. Wow. The message, when you feel invisible, God sees you. Some of you in here right now, oh, you may not be cast out as far as your house and your lands, but inside you're cast out. Inside you feel lonely. Inside you feel exploited. Inside you feel expelled. Just like this single mom with no place to go. Recovery begins when you realize that God sees you and God cares. Matter of fact, the first time God was named was El Roy or El Roy. El Roy was, he was called El Roy by Hagar, which means God sees and God cares. Wow. Today, there's a lot of people that need to hear this and need to know that this just isn't some come to church and sing and get happy and pat everybody on the back and go home. God wants to change people's lives and really, really change them. There's the lost sheep. The shepherd left 99 to find the one that was lost. The message there is you're worth pursuing. You're worth it. I can't tell you how many people I tell every week, you're worth pursuing. You're worth God's love on you. You just got to trust Him. Recovery is not about earning love. It's about receiving it. So, I want you to be bold right now. I want you to think, what truth about yourself do you need to reclaim today? How many ever heard the story, which is a true story, about the elephant in the rope? Anybody heard about the elephant in the rope? Have you ever noticed at the fair or at the circus, those great old big elephants are being held by a little bitty chain hooked to one back leg with a post driven in the ground? Doesn't make sense, does it? Let me tell you something. What happens is that young elephant, when he's young, he's tied with the rope when he cannot break it. And as he grows, he still believes he's trapped. And when he gets old, he still believes that he cannot break those chains and cannot easily escape. His mind has him trapped. I want everybody to close their eyes right now. Just close your eyes. How many people right now? You're not trapped by Satan. You're not trapped by the world. You're trapped by your mind. Because Satan can't defeat you. The world can't defeat you. The only thing that can defeat you, if God's using you, is you. What limit do you have in your mind where you don't think God can use you, or you can step up, or you can rise above, or you can get beyond that feeling of inferiority, or you can get beyond whatever it is that's got you down, that's got you believing that you're no longer of much worth to God? What is that? Just like that baby elephant. He couldn't pull that rope when he was young because it would break. But because nobody ever told him that he could tear that thing up and keep right on going, he stayed trapped. You can pick your eyes up now. Some of y'all in here, when you weren't able, yeah, you were trapped. But now you're more than able to get out of that trap. But your mind has got you. Recovery is breaking free from the lives that we believe for too long you're stronger than you think. One more, and I'm getting ready to close. Gideon. Gideon, when God finds him, is hiding. He's hiding. He's threshing wheat. He's hiding. He's scared to death that the Midianites are going to come and get him. He's hiding. He's a coward. And God comes up to him and calls him a mighty warrior. Wait a minute. He's hiding. He's scared. He says, my family is the least in Israel, and I'm the least of my family. You can't get any lower than that. And God calls him a mighty warrior. I call the guys in the heroin unit every time I go in there, I call them mighty men. All the time, mighty men, mighty men, mighty men. And in the latest batch of guys that were in there, that guy walked up to me. And he said, thank you for calling me mighty man. I said, you are. He says, well, I don't feel like one right now. Look at me. I'm wearing orange. If I walk out of this room, I'm chained. I don't feel very mighty right now. And I said, you're still mighty man. You just got to get through some things, through this speed bump. You're still a mighty man. And the guys all the time say, thank you, all the time. Thank you for calling us mighty men, because you're looking past those yellow coveralls. You're looking past this stuff that we're in. And you're seeing somebody that God can use. Recovery is reclaiming your true identity. Not what the world or the past says, but what God says. And I used this one before, but I'll put it back up there because it's so powerful. Neuroscience and recovery. Studies show that the brain can rewire itself. I remember, I'm not going to go back into it, but y'all remember I've told you the story. When I was 13, I cracked my skull. And Dr. Muther in New Bern said I would, if I lived, I'd be a vegetable. And if I weren't a vegetable, I'd be institutionalized the rest of my life because my brain was damaged so severely. And that was in August. In December, he took a test and said, I don't believe it. I mean, I was still weak on one side, and I still had struggling with my memory, working through my memory and all this stuff, and I was still dragging a leg a little bit. But he said, if I hadn't taken the initial test and the test therein afterwards, I wouldn't believe it. He said, but your brain is amazingly, miraculously healed. And he said, actually, it has rewired itself from permanent brain damage. It's rewired itself. There's a process called neuroplasticity. Your trauma wires your brain one way. Your trauma takes away your ability to think, to do properly, but instead it puts you in a state of hyper alert. It puts you in a state where you're always thinking somebody's coming at you. You're always looking over your shoulder. And constantly, instead of being a think up here, your mind is constantly reaching back here into the self-preservation mode. And you don't like that, do you? Well, guess what? God can rewire that. He can take all that damage in your brain from that trauma, and he can put it back together again. So even after trauma or addiction, healing is possible. You're wonderfully complex. God designed your mind with the ability to recover and renew itself. I love this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Arise, Jerusalem. Let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of God rises to shine on you. DC, come on up here. God, everybody stand. Everybody stand and bow your heads. Close your eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I remember, and I've told this, some of y'all have heard it. I remember going into the heroin unit one day, and there was a guy there that was very, very sad and out of it. He wouldn't talk. He wouldn't participate in the group setting. He was just out of it. I could tell that he was hurting really, 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 really bad. And I remember, I don't know if it was that time or the next, but I remember talking about Bethany because I had passed out the bracelets. And I started talking about Bethany, the guy set up. And he started listening. He didn't engage, but he started listening. And when we closed the group session, I said, now, if you want to individually counsel, let me know. We're going over here in this room. And he said, can I go? And I walked in the room with him. And I said, I've noticed that not only do you not participate, you seem to have this darkness on you that can't be penetrated. What is it? And he told me his 16-year-old son, a few months before, had committed suicide. And he couldn't get through it. And the trauma had reshaped his life. Because he said, I used to be vibrant and have fun, and I was alive. And he said, now, it's over. And so I began working with him. And I worked with him every week. And about the third or fourth week, I watched his eyes light up. I watched God's Spirit begin to move in him. And I watched him get excited like he used to be. And he went from being in the corner, not talking to anybody, to being a leader in that heroin unit. And he was in that heroin unit for about a year. Totally, 100% changed. What changed him? God's power. God showed him that he could change. And it's amazing because I wear a bracelet that says, Team Bethany, God's got this. He's got a bracelet that has his son's name on it, who was a musician. And on the other side, it says, his music still lives on, or music still plays. And he goes around telling people how God can heal you. Last time I talked to him, he was in New Mexico, still loving and serving God and excited as ever been. But I watched God rewire his brain and his spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is somebody here today needs some rewiring? Some recovery? God's got you. God's got you. He can reach down, way on down in your heart and in your soul. Especially to the places that you don't even want to visit. And he can heal you. You got to trust him. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask, but nobody looking around, how many could say, nobody looking at you, just me, Pastor, I need to recover what God gave me. I need to step back in to what I stepped out of and let God use me like before. I'm ready for God to do something special again in my life and help me reclaim who I am in Christ. How many raise that hand and say, that's me. That's me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Now we're going to pray together. Y'all pray with me. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for the day. I thank you for your power, for your anointing. I thank you, God, that we're no longer children of wrath, but we are children of grace. And we no longer have to be identified by tragedy, to be identified by trauma, to be identified by our problems. But instead, we are mighty warriors for you. Help us raise up, and we thank you for it right now. Lord, we rededicate our lives to you right now. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. Isn't God good? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now we're gonna say the Lord's Prayer, and then Doug's going to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.